epilogue, the moral of the memoirs. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Was abortion worth it for me and these other ladies? Absolutely not. All of us, had we known the damage that abortion would do to us, would have rather given birth regardless of our circumstances. Abortion was not the end to our troubles, as we were promised. We didn't just go on with our lives as though nothing significant happened. Abortion did not turn out to be the quick and easy solution it was touted to be. Just like giving birth has lifelong effects, so does abortion. I'm relatively healthy and stable now, but I wouldn't have been without all the healing I received along the way, both purposeful and being in the right place at the right time. It took 2 divorces and a ridiculous amount of shame and pain and many other poor choices before I found stability again. If I hadn't grown up in a healthy home, I wouldn't have recognized the damage so easily. Because we don't talk about abortion in the church, the one place that can offer true hope and resources, the next generation of young Christian men and women are still choosing abortion as a valid solution for their children conceived outside marriage. If we talked about abortion proactively in the church in a way that could help them see the truth about it, and we championed their roles as moms and dads with resources and mentorship, their stories could have redemptive outcomes from the beginning. These abortion stories of my Christian friends and me are common, though seldom told. Our stories of healing and redemption are rare, though powerful enough to break through the abyss of abortion in our culture. We didn't find redemption on our own, but in each case, someone stepped out of their comfort zone and lovingly extended the grace for which we so desperately longed. We tell our stories to not only extend that grace to other women and men who have lost children to abortion, but also to pastors who are convicted about the devastation of abortion, but unsure of how to address it. As powerful as someone may find our stories, nothing can take the place of the God-given spiritual authority of pastors in convincing people like us en masse that we need healing. Parishioners hear stories like ours and think they are rare, so they invalidate them or discount them as no major deal in the church. Men and women who have lost children to abortion have spent years or even decades shoving the pain so deep that, even when confronted with it through a testimony, their first reaction is to deny it exists. Denying it feels necessary to keep the peace, personally and corporately. That's why, in many cases, it will take a person with spiritual authority in their lives, like a pastor, to tell them that not only is healing available for those who feel they want it, but that they need healing even if they've convinced themselves that they are fine. They need to hear from their pastor that the act of repentance is the gift God gave us to begin the healing process spiritually, emotionally, and relationally, but that healing will not happen without intentionally processing this within safe community through the Word. People who have lost children to abortion need to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it is safe to come to their pastor or any ministry leader about this, or anyone in the church for that matter. 44 years ago, when I was having my abortions, the church hadn't thought these things through yet. Now, we've had plenty of time to do so. Now, when this scenario occurs, the church can learn something from past mistakes, reason through these things, and save lives of babies and mamas. And daddies and grandparents, too. Everyone should know that the church is the safest place to run when they are in trouble. We don't know this because experience has proven the opposite too many times. No excuse for naivety remains. I've been observing. I've been a squeaky wheel, pointing this out every chance I get. Even with the plethora of information available at the tap of a finger, there is a scarcity of guidance through it from the church. We get a vague message that abortion is bad and good Christians don't have them nor participate in them, but no useful information. We are told God forgives all sin, but we're not convinced because our abortions were significant, and some of us are super messed up while the A word remains unmentionable from the pulpit. If recent studies show that the majority of abortions are done on women who identify with a Christian faith, and they do, then abortion is a major deal in the church. It's a bigger deal in the church than it is outside the church, even if a percentage of those women are not attending church. Maybe their abortion is part of the reason some of them don't attend church anymore. What does the church have to offer them other than more denial? Perhaps judgment, rejection, alienation, shame, and guilt. But certainly, much of the time, an unbiblical balance of truth versus grace. Here is where the grace comes in for pastors. Most pastors don't know these facts. Most don't know that those who have lost children to abortion, including the fathers and other significant people involved, experience the same kinds of effects as described in the stories in this book. If they did know, I believe they would seek out help in how to address abortion trauma and prevention of it in their churches forthwith. Belinda spoke to pastors in the last chapter. And I don't want to belabor this. My intention in writing this is not to condemn anyone anywhere, but to open eyes and hearts so you know you have a chance to change the future. If I could say anything to young people, single adults, and even married people of childbearing age, I would say, please do not think that abortion will solve a problem. In fact, it creates far more problems in people's lives and in society than you can imagine, even if people are telling you it's a valid choice. There is nothing empowering about it. In reality, it disempowers and hurts women and perpetuates the false assertion that you are not enough. No one warned me about all these things 44 years ago. Most people didn't think much about it back then to even think a warning was necessary. If you or anyone you know is in the position of an untimely pregnancy, don't just go with what you hear in the news or from the abortion industry or even from your friends. Abortion is not women's health care. What kind of health care breaks up relationships or causes people to want to end their lives? There are pregnancy resource centers in almost every major city and many smaller cities in the United States. There are resources and people to support you in choosing life for yourself and your baby, regardless of where you are in the world. Well, the church is worldwide, and they have resources if they are willing to truly make a difference in people's lives. Don't stop until you find a church or friend who will help you. You are worth the trouble. If I could say anything to parents, I would say learn all you can about the truth regarding sexual and emotional risks for young people that cannot be avoided even with birth control. Learn how to talk to your kids naturally about sex. Most young people secretly want you to talk to them about this. If you don't talk to them from a factual and biblical standpoint, telling them the truth, they will learn about it from predatory sources that will not be there for them when birth control fails. They will learn from TV and movies and their friends and will be as alone as I was. I would say to parents, youth pastors, and teachers, contact your nearest pregnancy center and ask if they can come to talk to your youth group or health class about sexual risk. Learn everything you can about abortion and its effects. There are many excellent books about it, some based on hundreds of worldwide studies that back up the troubles spoken of in this memoir. And start talking to your kids about these things no later than their early teens or even preteens. Let them know that no matter what, they can come to you and you will be there for them and walk through their struggles and failures with them. Don't give them any reason to seek counsel from untrustworthy sources. If you have been involved in an abortion in the past, then you have lost a child to it, your very own offspring, a loved one. You may have convinced yourself that it was a good decision in order to not feel the pain that is hiding deep beneath the denial. Chances are, you have had trouble with relationships, with bonding to others, with parenting, with commitment. You likely have at least one addiction. You may experience unexplained anger or rage. You may have been accused of being a control freak. You probably struggle with your mental health, such as depression or mood swings. Or you may appear to be the picture of good mental health because you have to convince everyone of that, including yourself. There are literally millions of other men and women in the church who are struggling with these things as a result of abortion. You are so not alone. For the stories written here, there are millions more yet to be told. Each story has numerous aspects and layers. Belinda's message is one that should give you hope. Still in her early 20s, her insight and wisdom are refreshing and compelling. Despite the extent of her loss, she has the vision to see that it wouldn't be difficult at all for the church to make a significant difference in the lives of women and men in untimely pregnancies. I truly hope that you are seeing this now as well. Our circumstances don't have to be repeated in the lives of others. May these stories not have been told for nothing more than to fill pages in a book. May they instead urge you on to impel your pastors and church community with the same passion that will result in a much different story for others in the future. Find the stories in your congregation, in your community. They are out there waiting to be heard. They are out there longing to find a redemptive ending. If you want to know more about how to solve the problem of abortion in your church congregation, watch for Why Can't We Say the A Word in Church? Overcoming Our Dirtiest Secret with Hope and Grace, that has been released. The A Word book includes the stories from this memoir interwoven with identifying the scenario, dilemma, and remedy to overcoming abortion in the church. We've swept this all under the church rug for far too long, thinking it's about politics and political correctness. But our children and our children's children are dying right under our politically correct noses. The solutions are simple, though to be honest, it will not be a quick fix. It will be a journey not unlike that of an individual going through the healing process. The answers do not lie in changing laws, but in changing hearts and minds through honest conversations, love and support, and truth. Yes, it will open a can of worms, but as it is opened, freedom will begin to come for many in your congregation who are currently being eaten alive. The worms are the lies that many in the church have bought, hook, line, and sinker. Once they are out and exposed for what they are, they can be thrown back to where they belong, the pit of hell, and no longer attract our beloved young people or their parents. I simply remind us here that our obedience to God in doing all we can to address and reverse the conundrum of abortion in the church is one thing we will never regret. Your response has eternal implications for your church congregation and the entire church. The journey begins with godly sorrow about the tragedy of abortion and ends with no regret.